Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to kind of leap through this chapter. I'm going to read verses 3, 13, 18, and then from 21 through the end, verse 25. What does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He's big over in the book of Hebrews, in that cathedral of faith. 11th chapter spends quite a little bit of time speaking about Abraham's faith. He's big in Galatians. And here Paul is using Abraham as the prime example of being saved by God's grace through faith. Remember, Paul was separated to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the heart of which is the cross and the resurrection. And yet he goes back, even for him, 1,500 years or more, 2,000 years, to Abraham as his prime example. The reason was Abraham believed God without the benefit of structured law, without the help of a community of faith. He represents what it means to simply take God at his word and move on. When we think Abraham, it's almost reflex. He's right there in the book next to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all the rest. And so we say Abraham equals Old Testament equals law and Jewish people. We get to thinking along the line, those people were crude and they were eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Paul seems to think those people were pretty much like you and I. Paul seems to think that they faced the same type of situations to make their ethical decision. We need to remember that Abraham was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I feel like I've been through all this before in that series on Abraham recently, but we need to say that Ur was a very comfortable culture, very advanced culture. Remember, we said they had indoor plumbing way back then, and a lot of other things. It wasn't just he was called to leave one wigwam and go to some other kind of a wigwam, but he was called to leave a comfortable culture and leave his extended family in order to sojourn with God. And he didn't know exactly where God was going. The only thing he heard God say, if you will walk with me and leave behind what you have here for me, I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth. All this 400 or 500 years before the Ten Commandments were written down. There weren't any Jews in the world at all yet. You ever stop to think of that? Where's the word Jew come from anyway? Comes from Abraham's great-grandson, Judah maybe? Now, let's not get into that. That gets you thinking down some other alley and then you won't listen to the rest of my sermon. They call Abraham a Hebrew and he was a Semite. But the Jewish kosher laws were yet undreamed of. And the point Paul is making was that Abraham was not justified because he learned and kept a certain set of rules, although later on Abraham was circumcised. Abraham was not justified because he belonged to a certain religion or race, but Abraham was saved because he heard God. He became convinced it was God that was speaking to him, and he believed enough to obey God, and his life became his faith, and his faith became his life. Abraham heard the promise, come with me, and I will bless you. And so Abraham started out on his adventure of faith. I suppose that was what we would call his crisis commitment. That was his first trip to the altar. Got to have two trips to the altar exactly, and so on. But it may have been a crisis commitment, but his was the beginning of a lifetime commitment of obedience to God. Abraham was justified because he believed God. In this third verse, Paul is quoting He's quoting exactly from Genesis 15, 6. There might be good reason for a difference of opinion as to just exactly, if you want to fit it into a theological pattern, when was Abraham justified and when was he sanctified and so forth. And there are a number of exciting and important and thrilling incidents in Abraham's walk with God. You might say it was the time he left Ur. Might be the time when he had the dispute with his nephew Lot. And Lot chose for himself, and Abraham said to God, "You choose for me." Could have been the time, well, many different times. But the one event in which justification by faith is recorded, Genesis chapter 15, is actually a rather dull chapter, adventure-wise. It's kind of in the middle of things. Ur has been left behind. Lot is long gone. Abraham has become a kind of a wealthy sheik of the desert, I suppose you'd call him. He's in the promised land, but he hasn't really had the promise of a son and heir. And so in his devotions that day, he begins to, well, God first comes to him and says, "Abraham, I've blessed you and I love you." And he's having a good time in his devotions, but Abraham says, "Well, honestly now, it isn't like I thought it was going to be when I first started out to follow you. And maybe I've missed it. Maybe I've been dreaming too big. Maybe my servant Eliezer will inherit this." God said, "No. Don't compromise on your dream. Don't compromise on your vision. Come with me out of that tent." It was nighttime. So Abraham went out of the tent. There they were under the starry heavens. God said, "What do you think of this, Abraham?" Abraham says, "It's beautiful. Sometime I'd like to see the heavens from the desert, a long way from any city lights. I imagine it's gorgeous. We saw the lights of heaven from the deck of a boat in the Caribbean, and that was gorgeous, but there were still lights around." But after they'd admired the heavens for a little while, and I have a feeling that Abraham began to get things in proper perspective, and he realized how big this universe is and how big God is and how little he is. And God said to Abraham, "Start counting those stars, would you, Abraham?" Abraham said, "Are you crazy?" No, he didn't say that to him. But he thought it. "I can't count those stars. Look at them." God said, "It's not going to be Eliezer, your servant. It's going to be your own son that you don't have yet. And out of your own loins are going to come descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. Don't give up on your promise." And there's where it comes, right there. Verse 6, "And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Wasn't any different than 5 minutes before. Abraham still couldn't understand it. He still couldn't really believe it logically with his mind. But now somehow he knows this is God who has spoken, and the gift of faith is his. And he says, "I choose to believe God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm too old to have children. It's impossible. But God has said it, and I believe it, and that settles it." I actually said that, didn't I? Well, it works if you use the right words there. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that's where Abraham was justified. He was at one with God. You say, what about the rest of the chapter? Well, to me, that was important. God gave Abraham assurance. And he asked, remember, for a sacrifice, and it was a strange sacrifice, but not if you knew the culture. And he took the sacrifice and put it out there on the altar. And nothing happened for a long time. Remember, he always tried to stay awake and he kept from going to sleep. And then the birds came down. And I love to preach about the birds. I'm going to update that sermon and preach it once again. The buzzards in the church, you know. No. But they came down on the sacrifice and Abraham shooed them away. Then it got dark and it says a horror of great darkness fell on Abraham. I don't know what that means, but I got a pretty good idea. All of us at one time or another in the dark have sensed something of the horror of maybe this is all wrong. Maybe, you know, the fear and the terror. But Abraham held steady and he said, "You asked for it, you've got it, I'm giving it to you." And finally the fire of God moved between the pieces. The assurance came. But it wasn't then that Abraham believed God. It was back then when God spoke and Abraham said, "All right, that settles it. You say so, I believe it." Abraham believed God. And Abraham simply took God at his word. So Abraham's faith from then on enabled him to hope against hope. Abraham was a very good man. He was a godly man. I believe you could have trusted him with your life savings. But I want you to see that even from then on, his expression of faith, his service to God, was not perfect. He tried to deceive pagan rulers by telling them that his wife was his sister. And he had this problem about thinking maybe he'd have to come up with his own solution to God's promise. It was after this, of course, he agreed with his wife and had a child by her handmaiden, Hagar. And had this son after the flesh, Ishmael. In trying to help God. Oh, no doubt his motives were, as far as he could see, were probably right. But he got ahead of the Lord. This wasn't what God had intended. Really caused himself a lot of grief. But in it all, Abraham walked with God. He was God's man. He never refused God what he asked for. When he blundered, God forgave him. But he wasn't saved by this perfect service, even after he believed God. Even after the child of promise was finally born. It was a miracle. 100 years of age, being a father. Can you imagine that? I can imagine it being 56 years of age. It'd be terrible. Be wonderful. But after this, God said, "All right, you've had this miracle. Here's this son that you just can't take your eyes off. This child of promise, your Isaac, I want him too." Abraham said, "Okay, God, because I know that even if I kill him and sacrifice to you, you're able to raise him from the dead. And whatever you say goes." I like that kind of an attitude. Abraham may not have served God perfectly, but Abraham walked with God. He believed God. He was sold out to God. And that kind of faith was counted to him for righteousness. And when there seemed to be no hope, and he was 98 years old and still no son, or when the hope was wrong kind of hope, and he'd come up with a solution, and he says, "This is my hope," and God said, "Your hope's no good." In hope against hope, he trusted in the Lord. And Abraham was able to go with hope in God because he believed God, and that's saving faith. But the reason Abraham is so big and why he appears 90 times in the New Testament is not just because of his remarkable life and walk with God. That's not why Paul put him in the book of Romans. No, Abraham is an example because in some form, some way, sooner or later, each one of us gets the same kind of call Abraham got. It's what it says right here. It wasn't for his sake only that this is written, that was reckoned to him for righteousness, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. God still calls people to leave their comfortable countries and come with him to the place of blessing and being blessed. He say, well, it was awfully easy and clear cut for Abraham. You know, from a distance of 3,000 miles, we can really tell what it was like. Just had a couple yard sales and bought a couple camels and off he went. That was all there was to it. Real simple. But I have a feeling it was just about as complicated for Abraham with his connections in that family, which he loved. And you can read it as you go back later on when he sent back his son Isaac, or sent Eliezer the servant back to get a wife from that family that he loved. It wasn't just simple ABC, here we go. But I've got the feeling it's not as complicated as you'd like to think in your life either. God will help us work out the details, but when he calls us, there's no two ways to do it. We just have to say, all right, Lord, you show me which way to go. If it literally means leaving the country, we need to follow. If it literally means giving up what we possess and going, fine. You're not going to possess it too much longer anyway when you stop to think about it. But there isn't any cheap way to follow God and enter into his kingdom. This is the same kind of call, the exact same thing that those four fisher boys, Peter and James and John and Andrew, washing their nets along the shore. And here comes God the Son and says to them, follow me. What kind of a audacious thing is that? But they look up and they say, God has spoken. It's God. And in that moment, they make a response and they leave their nets and they follow after Jesus Christ. And the same call comes to me and comes to you. And there's nothing we can do. We're not going to be saved by following him perfectly. We're not going to be saved by our perfect service. But when we sell out to him, when we believe God, it is counted to us for righteousness. And we are at one with him. Salvation is free, but it's never cheap. It demands a total response. I guess what we need to say is it God that's calling me? Don't respond to just a voice. A lot of people tell you what God's will is. God's people won't insist, this is God. God's people will just say, this is the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit will make it personal. And you'll know this is God. This is the will of God for you. And when you say it is God, is he calling you? Then the question is, will you believe God? Can you simply take him at his word? And when you do, salvation is near. What does the word say about salvation? It's nigh you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. The just shall live by faith was not written for Abraham's sake alone. Paul says it here. The Holy Spirit tells us it's for our sake too. Are you on this adventure of faith this morning? Oh, you may have a 9-to-5 job. I'm glad if you do. You may have 20 years security, and I'm glad that you do. But do you have this spirit of Abraham that says, Lord, what I have is yours. I'm willing to follow you. Have you heard God's voice saying, if you'll walk with me, I will bless you. And in you, through you, by you, this world will be blessed too. We won't be big like Abraham. There's only one Abraham. But God loves you just as much as he loved Abraham. God cares for you just as much as he cared for Abraham. You know, I say that, and I can't really believe it emotionally, but I do believe it. I really do. And I'm trying to let it soak down into me. God loves me. I know my faults. I know why he shouldn't. But he loves me just as much as he loved Abraham. He loves you as much as he loved the Apostle Paul. Wow. Shall we mind him? Will you, like Father Abraham, respond? Abraham didn't even have enough light to be able to say Jesus Christ is Lord. But here's this Christian apostle using him as the example of what it means to be saved by faith. Will you say, I will lay aside everything and follow you? Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to realize how simple it really is to walk with you. Not necessarily easy. And there are many complicated decisions we have to make after the fact. But Lord, bring it down clear to our hearts that we can belong to you. We can follow you. We can make the decision that we're going to go with you and never turn back. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.